SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What is this going to be?
Moneyline.
No! Are you kidding me? Humdiddly D!
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win seven games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Oh, yeah, it's time to get after it, people. Are you ready for another week, new money right here on Moneyline? I'm Donnie Wrightside, solo mission today for Moneyline right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Kevin's off today. He'll be returned. Does he return back Tuesdays? I don't even know anymore. Maybe Kevin doesn't even work on this radio show at this point here. By the way, no stranger to getting left in the dust this morning, BSS, our good buddy Ben Stevens on the early line, wasn't able to make it into work this morning, was under the weather. So your boy DRS was rocking and rolling with super producer extraordinaire John Shames in the mix, as well as Joe Ranieri heeding the call to step in and help the boys out. Tom Vecchio was on this morning. JY in for a couple segments today. It was all popping and going down. But as always, we get it started today with the hottest topics right here in the afternoon. And that does include tears all around the city of brotherly love. As expected, Jason Kelce had a press conference today. Jason Kelce did retire a Philadelphia Eagle. Took a while for him to even start his speech because the tears were flowing left and right. One of the guys in Philadelphia that gets the community and the community gets him back, Jason Kelce, six-time All-Pro selection, Super Bowl champion, headed to the Hall of Fame, one of the best ever to do it, hangs it up today. And the only question is going to be, where is he going for his next work? Is it Fox? Is it CBS? Is it ABC? Is it Amazon? He's going to find some work somewhere. Not a bad thing. When you're making, you know, $10 to $15 million a year in football, like, hey, man, it's got to last the rest of my life. Now, granted, Kelce's made more money than I will ever see in my lifetime. But also, he's going to make more money than I will see in my lifetime just by working in media next year. That guy is an unbelievable talent. So from Philadelphia fans, thanks for your work and good luck out here. But that's the first big doing today in the NFL. Actually, I should say the first big doing today in the NFL was, how about this? Mike Evans, wide receiver of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, doesn't even make it to free agency. And if these numbers are going to surprise you people, don't think twice. The salary cap has gone up a big time amount here. So you know when a guy is signing early before even getting the free agency, it's got to be a good deal. 2 years, $52 million for Mike Evans, wide receiver of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's back in the fold in Tampa. Also, some baseball doings this morning. Woo, Philadelphia. Center of the sports landscape, huh? Kelce says goodbye, and another guy says hello to three more years in Philly's pinstripes. And that's Zach Wheeler. 3 years. What is it, 140? It's $42 million a year. For 3 years, for Zach Wheeler. Boy, that's good if you can get it. And by the way, baseball, insane numbers as well that you can sign for, which is wild that Blake Snell is still out there on the market when we're already in spring training. And by the way, the baseball season itself, yeah, that's going to start in 16 days. 16 days is opening day. Now, if it sounds early, technically it is, because they are going to have an overseas series to start the season and then have the unofficial start to the regular season, or the official start, however you want to put it, about a week and a half later at that point. But baseball's coming up here closely. But also, again, Zach Wheeler re-signs with the Philadelphia Phillies here for an extension. Wasn't going on anywhere this year, but now will not be hitting the free agent market. And back with the Phillies for three more years, which I guess means four more years in totality. A lot of awesome stuff, by the way, guys, happened over the weekend. And how can we relate it to this week? Because as you know, the Atlantic Sun. Now, again, a lot of you people listening to the radio now don't give a damn about the Atlantic Sun. That's okay. They started off this week and putting their dancing shoes on, ready to rock and roll in their conference tournament. Next week, the majors will start up with their conference tournaments, and away we go. So as you look today, March the 4th, when is the, let me see this real quick. When is March Madness final? Let's see. Let me just type that in here to see if that pops up here. March Madness final four. Boy, they make it hard for you to... Okay, Friday, April 5th, which Saturday, April 6th, is the Final Four. And then, of course, they play the final on the 8th. So we're sitting now on March 4th. We'll crown an NCAA champion on April 8th, which is awesome all the way through. Some of the best times you'll have. Because think about what we have set up here, people, in this month. March Madness, of course, taking center stage, which leads into Major League Baseball at the end of this month. Unbelievably fantastic. First week of April, you know what starts that up as well. That's the Masters. A lot of fun to watch on TV. Sort of the, for me as always, right? Whether you're golf or not, I understand like baseball technically starts the spring, right? But I just think the Masters starts the spring. Because the weather is always, like, I live in the Northeast. Now, granted, some people might listen here, Texas, Arizona, Southern California. You're getting great weather just about all throughout the year. But Augusta, Georgia, showing the azaleas and all the golf course in bloom. Hopefully this year we'll get some clear skies, no rain in the forecast. It just says, oh, you know what, here in the Northeast, spring is just around the corner, which is fantastic. Now, granted, I'm still trying to find how we're going to make some money here in the month of March because we've been doing very well so far, picking and choosing our spots here. And as you guys know, I love me some Baylor Bears. Friday morning on the early line, my best bet. Didn't even give a best bet for Friday. I said, no, hold on and wait. Hold on and wait for those Baylor Bears taking on Kansas. They'll handle their business. And they did, and we cashed that ticket. 4.5, 5.5, who cares? They all cashed. Everything came up right here. I got a couple games tonight and a player total to go over for a prop that I think we could do some damage with. And the only sad part is I don't have anything in the A-Sun tonight. There are two basketball games down there. Winner advances, loser goes home. We understand that. But they're not really all that enticing to me at this point. But if we're setting the table here, yes, we're going to review some college basketball. There are two really good games on tonight, which we'll take a look at. Duke in the ACC going up against NC State. And then also in the Big 12, the Baylor Bears and the Texas Longhorns. Little action down in Waco after a monster game on Saturday afternoon for the Baylor Bears in Waco taking down the Kansas Jayhawks. But we're going to talk a little Los Angeles Clippers on a back-to-back tonight as well. And also setting it up here for the New York Knicks and Jalen Brunson. How about that? Picking up a dub yesterday. Jalen Brunson plays a half of a minute. They go on the road and beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. Caitlin Clark breaks the scoring record as well as LeBron James getting to 40,000 points in his NBA career. And by the way, they did lose that game to the Denver Nuggets. Shame on you, LeBron, because Caitlin Clark, she broke her record. Can't lose her game here. Watching a little spring training baseball action right now. Stick with us right here on the early line. We'll be right back after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. Hour number one of Moneyline here on a Monday afternoon. No better way to start your week here. Listening to the radio, kicking back, knowing that March Madness is here and ready to rock and roll. Now, we still have to decide who's going to win the national championship, who we're going to bet on to win the national championship, and who actually is going to show up to the tournament and prove us correct here. But by the way, other news here, which came across this morning. Did you know over 10,000 players have opted into EA Sports College Football 25. There you go. How about that? I think there's, what, 11,000, I want to say? So they have over 10,000 people opting in, which EA Sports says reaches is 87% of its goal for the game, which will feature teams with 85-man rosters. Now, if you didn't hear, college football is coming back this year to EA Sports. It's been a while since it's been there because of the name, image, and likeness agreement. So it goes as follows. If you would like to be in the game and participate, you will opt into that, which means they can use your name, image, and likeness on the game, which is fantastic stuff. College kids got to absolutely love that. In accordance to getting paid, they'll give each player $600 and also a free copy of the game. Fantastic. We used to joke over the years with this, too. Like, again, I never played at the Division I level where I was going to be in a college football game. But just the fact that kids are in the college football game and playing, like, I would never think. And again, it's a different world at this point. I don't want to see that college football game because I'm not getting paid. Stop the madness, man. These kids on campus probably lived and died knowing that, you know, decades before, you could go home after practice, play with your own school, and you are right there on the screen. Now at least you're getting paid for it and a free copy of the game. And also said most of the biggest athletes have opted in, which include Colorado's Travis Hunter, Texas's Quinn Ewers, Georgia's Carson Beck, Alabama's Jalen Milroe, and Oregon's Dylan Gabriel. So there you go. Now, I'm old now at this point, so I don't play video games anymore. And quite frankly, you can only have a certain amount of vices here. And I loved playing video games growing up. I loved playing video games in high school and video games in college and video games up to I was around 30 years old. And then I said, you know what? It's taking up too much of my time. It's time to put my efforts into some other things. So, granted, if you love NFL Madden, which we all did growing up, and you love college football, Game Breakers, it was called back in the day when I was playing in 97, sitting in my dorm room, all of that stuff is fantastic. That lives and comes back. The 10,000 players have opted in. They're getting paid. Hooray! Hooray for capitalism there for us. But let's talk about what happened over the weekend, which included a Sunday afternoon matinee up in Boston. That game, slaughterhouse. The Celtics put an absolute epic beatdown on the Golden State Warriors. 140 to 88. Yeah, you heard that correctly. 140 to 88. 52 points they smoked the Warriors by. And you'll know just by the box score of this basketball game of what happened. Steph Curry didn't make a three-point shot. Ooh, you know it's going to be bad right off the bat. 7 of 41 from three-point range were the Golden State Warriors. 7 of 41. Every single player in the starting lineup for the Golden State Warriors in that game was a minus 20 or higher. Now look at these minutes those guys played. The white flag was raised early. Draymond Green, 14 minutes. Jonathan Kuminga, 20 minutes. Steph Curry, 17 minutes. Klay Thompson, 12 minutes. Moody, 19 minutes. And by the way, congratulations, Klay Thompson, back in the starting lineup. And you guys get dropped by 52 points. But take a look at the bench, which didn't help out all that much. Chris Paul was a minus 29 off the bench with 21 minutes played. He shot 1 of 6 from the floor, only had 2 points total. Lester Quinones, most people don't even know this guy's even alive at this point. Came out of Memphis, good ball player. You might remember him as the guy that brought back the shortest shorts you can ever wear on a basketball court. That's what he's known for. He played 33 minutes on Sunday and was a minus 37. I don't know if I've ever heard that before. A minus 37 in an NBA game. I don't know if I've ever, I don't know if it goes, I didn't know it went that high. But also vice versa on the opposite side. Jrue Holiday played 26 minutes. He was a plus 39. Jason Tatum played 25 minutes yesterday. He was a plus 40. 40. Man, they eviscerated the Golden State Warriors, which, by the way, where do the Celtics go from here at this point is the question. Is it just going to be that easy to win an NBA championship? It's not supposed to be. And I know we didn't even make the playoffs yet. But prices at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now to win the NBA championship, the Celtics are far and away the best team. Plus 210. Double that. The next team in line, that's the Denver Nuggets at plus 420. It's pretty incredible what's happening here with the Boston Celtics and how actually good they have been. Because they've been wildly impressive and unbelievably incredible. Does anyone want to fade the Celtics down the stretch? Do you want to fade the Celtics in the playoffs? Certainly not me. All right, let's get to more NBA talk. Saturday night, big doings here out west. LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers taking on the Denver Nuggets. First quarter, went to the Lakers 33-27, and away they go. LeBron James eventually cracks 40,000 points in his career. 40,000. So he was already the highest scoring player in NBA history, surpassing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but now goes over the 40,000 mark and counting here with no signs of slowing down. He's probably going to get a deal from the Lakers, which I believe he was asking for, what, 3 years? How many more points can you put on the board? And will that be the only 3 years that he plays? One of the few guys right now that is kicking butt on father time. My goodness, 40,000 points. So this morning, going over with Joe Ranieri, just having some funny, you know, having some fun talking about this stuff, saying to ourselves, like, is anybody ever going to do it again? Even, I think, actually, John Shames was on for that portion of the program this morning. And he thought somebody might be able to. Now, granted, we're seeing more and more scoring as that's what it's geared to in the NBA. But that doesn't mean, like, you have to be the best player in the league for like 25 straight years to approach 40,000 points. Unbelievable. The longevity, the health, all of that stuff. It's incredible what LeBron James has been able to do. But as much as LeBron James is shattering records of putting up numbers we may never see again, it's no question that drawing away from that game as the Lakers end up getting beat by double digits by the Nuggets, because that's just what they do. And before you look now, it seems like, and probably rightfully so, we were talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Oklahoma City Thunder much, much more than the Nuggets because they were battling for first place left and right. Well, now you take a look. A half-game lead right now for Oklahoma City over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Do you know who follows right along with them? It's the Denver Nuggets, only a half game back of first place in the West. Like that zombie that just won't go away, hovering the entire year, not at the top of the standings, and before it's all said and done, they might just be at the top of the standings. Because they are now just behind the Boston Celtics, slightly ahead of the Los Angeles Clippers. And the Milwaukee Bucks are sitting at a 7-1 price here. Now, the Bucks have seemed to have gotten everything going at this point now. Playing good basketball once again. And the question is going to be, can Doc Rivers hold up in the playoffs, right? That's what it's going to be. But the Clippers are getting a lot of love. Do you know why we like the Clippers? Even though they lost yesterday. Actually, excuse me, won yesterday by 1 point over the Minnesota Timberwolves, which was a big win for them as they try to fight their way up the ladder and possibly get in there and do some business and be that number one overall seed and get home court advantage. But we see their big three on the court each and every night, don't we? Whether or not they play well, James Harden comes to play, even though he was bad yesterday and they still won. Kawhi Leonard, he comes to play. Paul George, he comes to play. What's up with the Phoenix Suns, man? Bradley Beal is a big game. Devin Booker doesn't show up. They get beat by OKC at home. My goodness here. Which is going to lead me right into the next game that I want to talk about. It's the Los Angeles Lakers. It's the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like a player prop and a side in this game. Let's talk about it next and have some fun. It's Moneyline on a Monday afternoon. And I'm Donnie Wrightside.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here, the best hour of your day. It's Moneyline, Donnie Wrightside here on a solo mission. Kevin should be back tomorrow for more fun and games here. But let's talk funny games then, how we can make some money. It was a profitable weekend overall. Some pretty good odds boost used to my advantage. Cashed in some tickets. Hit Baylor on Saturday. Good times all the way around. But as we like to say, it's new week's new money. New week, new money, I should say. And tonight, I do like a game. And it is late night on the West Coast. And no, I won't be up for it. Oklahoma City Thunder, Los Angeles Lakers. This morning, while doing the early line, both myself and Joe Ranieri, this line sat as a Lakers favorite line, slightly, at -1 across the board. FanDuel now, according to all other outlets as well, has now flipped that. The Oklahoma City Thunder are 1.5-point favorites in this game with a high total of 238. OKC had an unbelievable performance yesterday against the Phoenix Suns, upending them without the big three. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 35 points, away you go. It's a good basketball team. They're trying to win number one overall seed in the West. I get all that. But I do think the Lakers have a legitimate chance to win this game tonight. And granted, they're home. They played on Saturday. They lost to maybe what would be, technically, what would you say now? Second-best team in the NBA? NBA champion last year, Denver Nuggets. They had a lead, blew that game, lost by 10 points, but they were home in Los Angeles. LeBron James gets his 40K out of the way, so now it's a little bit more relaxing, I guess you could say, where maybe the pressure is off just getting to the 40K, end up losing that game, decompress on a Sunday, have some pasta with the family, little meatballs, little sausage, you know, family dinner on a Sunday. But last night, putting in that work were the Oklahoma City Thunder. With that victory, they were on the road in Phoenix, now taking a flight to Los Angeles, and we'll play the Lakers tonight. So for me, I do think, once again, the Lakers win this game, but that's not the best bet in this game overall. 238, 238 and a half across the board is a total. Probably think it goes over, but again, not for me. Best bet in this game, it is LeBron James. It is LeBron James. I don't think LeBron James is going to sit this game out. Los Angeles Lakers, after losing that game to Denver, would love to pick up a victory tonight. And think about this. Made baskets. Last five games for LeBron James. We'll go back to the February 23rd game against San Antonio. 13 buckets made. Phoenix, 12 buckets made. Clippers game, 13 buckets made. Wizards game, 12 buckets made. Denver, 12 buckets made. Also in those games, shot attempts, 22, 19, 21, 24, and 20. That's what we want to see, isn't it? That's what we want to see. LeBron, though, by the way, hasn't gotten to the free throw line a lot. Free throw attempts in that San Antonio game, 2. Phoenix game, 4. Clippers game, 1. Wizards game, 7. And 2 free throw attempts against Denver. But you see the usage rate there, which is exactly what we're going for. LeBron James's total on his points prop tonight is 24.5. We're going to the over. If LeBron James is going to take around 20 shots tonight, I'll live with that. That'll be just fine with me. So give me LeBron James team total. LeBron James total on his scoring prop, 24.5. Give me that to the over tonight. Not a great NBA slate across the board, to be honest. Clippers and the Bucks is a very interesting one. Because we saw the Clippers pull out an unbelievably low-scoring contested game against the Minnesota Timberwolves, who were the top overall team in conference play. Now, they still sit a half game back. That was a great win. But they're on the road, back-to-back nights, now facing Milwaukee. This line, however, opened up as a Milwaukee Bucks favorite of 5.5 points. And that's now down to 4 points here. 4.5. Actually, no, it's 4. FanDuel's, I'm showing, but 4.5 across the board at most other outlets here, for me at least, in New Jersey. Total for this game, 224.5. Looks like I'm a 225 one spot at points bet, but 224.5, across the board. What do we make out of the Milwaukee Bucks? 5 straight victories. Los Angeles Clippers tonight. If we're looking at, let me just take a look, because again, it's not the end-all be-all, because we don't know anything officially until usually late in the afternoon. But I am looking at the anticipated lineup for the Clippers tonight. James Harden, Terrence Mann, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Ivica Zubac. So it looks like we're full go there. Milwaukee Bucks, anticipated lineup for tonight. Damian Lillard, Malik Beasley, Jay Crowder, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Brooke Lopez. So that's an interesting one to see how that plays out. I tend to believe I always like the rest over the weary, which the Clippers will be in traveling, Milwaukee waiting on them. So it's an interesting one to try to figure out. But let's get to the phone lines, 844-843-6879. The X-Man calling in on a Monday. New week, new money right here on Moneyline. What's up there, X-Man?
What's up, man? I got one
My
for
guy.
The people.
Yep, let's go.
I'm going with LeBron James for 25. I'm going with Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis, 25. The Lakers got to step up tonight.
Yep.
They both got to hit 25.
Uh-huh.
I'm going with Duke Blue Devils, first half spread, 3.5.
Oh, boy, here we go. Yep. Smash him, Duke.
NHL.
Uh-oh.
The Vegas Golden Knights in regulation.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that's 10-1.
10-1 for the people out there to start their week. That's how you get down right here on Moneyline. I like it, too. Love LeBron James. Love Anthony Davis. By the way, interesting scenario this weekend that came up. And it had to do with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. It was an odds boost, but also it was Saturday night. So there were two choices you can make. One was on FanDuel, and one was on Bet365. Bet365 is the one I went with here. It was a minus 240 price turned into a plus 100. It was 20 points out of LeBron James or more, and 20 points out of Nikola Jokic or more. Jokic went off. LeBron got his 26. That was easy. But FanDuel offered a third leg of this, which was 20 points for Jokic, 20 points for LeBron James, and 20 points for Anthony Davis at a plus 150 price. So I said to myself, because I already took the one, I was like, you know what? I'm not really going to double down here. It's fine. All three will probably get the 20. Looking at that, where Anthony Davis scored 17 points on Saturday and crushed that FanDuel odds boost, which I didn't take, and I took it on 365, that was a nice little bit of doings there. But a nice 10-1 here, Bar Guy X-Man chiming in. But I do think the Los Angeles Lakers put up a great effort tonight. It's a high-scoring game we're anticipating, even though the Thunder had played yesterday. It's a 238, so 25 and 25 out of AD and LeBron James, that should happen. But certainly I'm on singularly there, LeBron James, to get to that 25 points. I think it happens tonight. No other real big doings across the NBA, because I like that Oklahoma City Thunder Los Angeles Lakers game. Clippers Bucks should be a good one. If I had to bet that game, probably going to be taking the Bucks here. Again, not on road weariness. Five straight win for the Bucks. They're going to win every game. No, they're not. If you figure the Bucks are going to win that game, how are you going to bet that? Of course, you're probably taking the Bucks. Like, I think the Bucks can win, but I don't know if they can cover the four. Stop it. I'm not doing that. Nobody does that. So that's the way you sort of play that out here. But that's the NBA slate for tonight. LeBron James over 24.5 points for me. Recapping again what happened over the weekend. Look, we're talking record breakers here. And one of those record breakers is LeBron James. Now, technically, he didn't break a record over the weekend. He just scored his 40,000th point, which is complete and utter insanity. Insanity when you go over that. I don't know who's going to break it or do that. Or even come close. We don't know. But also, as we flip over to women's college basketball, if you were watching on Sunday, live from Iowa City, tip time 1 p.m. Eastern, 15,000 in attendance at Carver Hawkeye Arena. The team that was in first place in the Big Ten, no, it wasn't Iowa, it was Ohio State came to town. Iowa was favored in this ballgame. And now we find out Ohio State, Iowa, and Indiana, all within one game. Actually, is it over? I think it might be over, right? Yes, well, Ohio State is the champion, I would assume here. I don't think they're playing 20 conference games, are there? Let me click on Ohio State's women's basketball team. Yeah, it's done. So they were. So the pressure really wasn't on that game to see if Ohio State was going to win the Big Ten championship. They'd already had it locked up at that point, being 16-1. But certainly, take a look at Iowa saying, you know what? They have a little paybacks here. A couple weeks ago, we lost in overtime at your place. Caitlin Clark went nuts. Didn't come away with the dub. Let's see what we can do in this one. So Iowa finishes the regular season 26-4. Ohio State finishes 25-4, but in conference action, 16-2, the Ohio State Buckeyes, the Iowa Hawkeyes 15-3. But the big story wasn't that Iowa won the game, even though they're knocking off a top two team in the country. It was Caitlin Clark playing 39 minutes, going 10 of 26 from the field, which included 6 of 17 from three-point range and 9 of 10 from the free throw line. That's 35 points she scored yesterday. Now the all-time Division I leader in both men's basketball and women's basketball in points. That's absolutely outstanding. That is incredible. That is impressive. And she's not done yet. How many more points can she end up scoring here? The NCAA's all-time leading scorer. That's pretty impressive here. Made two free throws with less than a second left in the first half, which is that's why you saw nobody was on the free throw line with her. to take over Pistol Pete Maravich's 3,667-point career. Caitlin Clark now heading into postseason, which, again, she'll definitely be playing in March Madness, but she should be able to get a couple more games in here in the Big Ten. 3,685 total points heading into her final games with the Hawkeyes. She's already said she's leaving for the WNBA. Let's see how much of a run she can go on. And by the way, you better have your eyes on this women's tournament this year, people. As much as you haven't paid attention to it in the past, you better pay attention to it now. It's a lot of really good teams and a lot of superstar talent there. I'm Donnie Wrightside on Moneyline, and I'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here, having fun. Big news stories of the day. Mike Evans signs back with those Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 2 years, $52 million, with $35 million of that guaranteed. Also, Zach Wheeler signs an extension, a big money extension, with the Philadelphia Phillies, 3 years, $42 million per year. So teach your kid how to throw a fastball, man. You can get somewhere in life. Don't even got to be a lefty. Just be Zach Wheeler out there. Dominate on the mound. Also, Jason Kelce, the brother of Travis Kelce, has retired from the Philadelphia Eagles, so a new era starts at center for the Birds. But it is March. It is March Madness. It is March the 4th. Tonight, the Atlantic Sun starts their conference tournament, and away we go. But Saturday, we had one of the best college basketball days, ranked versus ranked, you are going to see in a long time. Did we get a lot of answers? I don't know if we got a lot of answers, but we got some really good winning basketball. By the way, the Houston Cougars are the number one team in college basketball. Saturday afternoon, 87-85 win over Oklahoma. Jamal Shedd at the gun, 0.4 seconds left, knocks it down. They win by 2 points. I don't know whether that I love that they won by 2 points on the road and it was high scoring, or am I angry at that, right? Would you rather see Houston win that game 51-49? Because that's what they do, play defense. Oklahoma dropped 85 points on them, not known as the efficient offensive killers that they are. But Houston scoring 87 points is good, because I love when you take a look at a college basketball team, pro team, whatever sport be it, they can win in different ways here. You take a look at Virginia. Virginia only wins one way. Can they beat you 41-37? If you score more than 45 points, you can wreck the University of Virginia. And by the way, they did embarrass themselves, University of Virginia, over the weekend. We'll get to that in a little bit, which is why we always cheer for Virginia to be left out of the tournament altogether, because nobody likes that style of basketball. I have no idea how you can even get recruited there and be excited to be a Virginia Cavalier. But that's neither here nor there right now. Houston 87, Oklahoma 85 on the weekend. That was a big game and a big win for Houston to keep that number one ranking as they move forward. Only a couple games left in Big 12 play, and it looks like in their first year, Big 12. In the Big 12 first year, looks like they're going to take it down with a regular season championship here. Purdue 80-74 on Saturday over Michigan State. Zach Edey, another monster game, 32 points, 11 rebounds. But for anybody that follows Purdue, including Purdue players themselves, fans, and coaches, nobody gives a damn about the regular season for Purdue. It's all about what you're going to do in March Madness, which has been an abject disaster the past couple of years. But you can take those skeletons out of the closet and bury them in the backyard with a couple wins here in the month of March. Particularly that week of March 18th, which is the Monday that starts the college basketball world by storm. March 17th, you know what day that is, people. Come on now. Selection Sunday. Tennessee downs Alabama 81-74 over the weekend. Tennessee, known for their defense, but getting a lot of offense lately here. Dalton Kincaid didn't even have a great game. They still won. We feel like here at the Sports Grid Network, at least most of the people I do shows with, maybe Tennessee a little bit unheralded. Maybe because you're not seeing that 25-31-1 price. You're seeing it in the low teens. That's not enough to bite on here. I'd rather take a favorite here as opposed to Tennessee. I get it. That's a really good basketball club. 13-3 now in the SEC. But by the way, you know what's interesting there? I believe it's Saturday. I want to say, South Carolina beat Florida on Saturday, 82-76. Number 18 team in the country. They were 60-1 to start last week to win the SEC. They're now down to an 8-1 price. There's still a game back right now, but isn't that incredible? It's absolutely incredible. They're like two games back at 80-1. winning games, handling their business, and now certainly shortening up those odds. Creighton over Marquette, easily. I think everybody saw that one coming. Once Kolick was out for that game, it was going to be a Creighton one, even though it was close at the break. Shireman's dropping threes all over the place. He goes for 26 and 16 for Creighton as Marquette gets beat as their anticipation for UConn. But also, I did see, as we were waiting on Tyler Kolick, doesn't look like he's going to play, you know, the rest of the last two games here in the Big East regular season. Which, again, they had a big-time matchup with UConn. That looks like it might be not so big of a matchup at this point. Baylor, as you guys know, I told you already, was my favorite bet of the weekend. 82-74 victory over Kansas. They opened it up in the second half, scoring 47 points. They were tremendous. And again, Baylor, got my eye on you. Before that game against Kansas, Baylor was 40-1 to win a national championship. They've now dropped to 30-1 to win a national championship. And I agree with that here. I do. North Carolina beats NC State 79-70. Why is that important? Well, Duke plays NC State tonight. Should Duke beat NC State tonight, that is going to wind up an awesome game. This Saturday at Cameron Indoor Stadium, Duke versus North Carolina. North Carolina looking to get a clean sweep there and easily outright win the ACC when Duke needs to win tonight at NC State to get to that game. But Carolina does have one game sandwiched in as well. It's against Notre Dame. Should be able to handle their business. So we should have a great Saturday night as we anticipate daylight saving the next day. So don't stay up too late because you're going to lose that hour. But that's nice. Duke, North Carolina to end the season. That's what I'm talking about, man. That's where it's always good. Do you know where a wild card team could be? Like we try to place it in and say, you know, it doesn't have to be 50, 60, 70, 80 to 1. It could be better than that. National championship odds here for Illinois. Illinois is 25-1. 22-7 on the season. 13-5 in conference play. But they got Terrence Shannon Jr. back. Was suspended, going through the legal process. They're going to keep him alive. They're going to keep him alive in that lineup, I should say. He played a team high 38 minutes. On Saturday against Wisconsin. And Wisconsin, as you know, hey, slow it down. They don't play as slow as they used to in the past. But they dropped 91 points on Wisconsin on the road. That's a big-time victory. 52 points in the second half. They shot 56% from three-point range. And it wasn't by a ton of volume either. They shot 16 of them. But they shot 80% as a team from the free throw line and 52% as a team, which include Domas going for 31-8. Is that a team we should worry about? Is that a team that might get a little flyer for you out there at over 20-1? I haven't paid a ton of attention to them, but every time I keep looking here, I'm like, you know what? There might be value on Illinois. 13th overall in the country, handling their business, superstar player back, and away you go. Also, another interesting game on Saturday afternoon was that Kentucky-Arkansas game. Man, Kentucky is blazing on offense, people. Absolutely blazing on offense. 111 points against Arkansas. Game before that, Chris Jans and Mississippi State, known for their defense. Kentucky dropped 91 on them. The game previously before that dropped 117 on Alabama in an easy victory. Remember that game against LSU 4 games ago? They had the double-digit lead to start the second half, ended up blowing that, losing by 1 point. But before that, beating Auburn, number 13 on the road, beating Ole Miss, lost to Gonzaga in one of those quirky midseason games, but again, only 89-85. Scored 109 points against Vanderbilt. They are so dangerous, the Kentucky Wildcats. And the one guy I also point to as well is, if you're going to get young players finally stepping in and saying, you know what, I'm no longer a freshman, guys like DJ Wagner out of Camden, New Jersey, showing up in a big way, 19 points. Like, think about this, though. You take a look at, like, I didn't say his season. 5 games in. Here's what's so tough about these teams like Kentucky. When they're at the top of the echelon and playing their best basketball, they're hell on wheels. They really are. DJ Wagner scored 8 points against Auburn. Didn't even score in 21 minutes against LSU. Against Alabama, played 24 minutes, scored 4 points. Mississippi State scored 91 points, Kentucky. He scores 10 in that game. But getting back to the Alabama game, they scored 117 points, scored 4. He's a starter. But finally against Arkansas,
showing signs of life there, certainly from three-point range. He shot 80% from three-point range, but scored 19 points. You give me double digits from DJ Wagner in that starting lineup, man, Kentucky's going to be something to watch in the SEC tournament and also in March Madness. The problem is, can you trust that basketball team? That's always the hard part. Now, if you want to talk trust, you watched the game yesterday in a team called UConn. Absolutely annihilate Seton Hall. Clinches the Big East for like the first time in eons, which sounds so odd. Klingon, 19 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 blocks as they systematically destroyed Seton Hall by 30 points yesterday. They're at a 5-1 price at FanDuel right now to cut the Nets down for March Madness. And quite frankly, I don't know how you stop them right now. They're playing really good basketball. You are going to have your losses. They're 26-3 on the season. They're not unbeatable, but sure, sometimes they look unbeatable. Starting lineup getting a lot of balance out there. Caravan, 13 points. Klingon, 19 points. Castle, 21 points. Newton, 17 points. Spencer didn't have to do much in that game. 30 minutes played, only took 3 shots, ended up with 5 points as they systematically blew out Seton Hall, 91-61. Really impressive. It just is. A couple games on the card tonight. If we're looking at the big games, there's really not that many. But two come to mind here. Texas, Baylor, Duke, and NC State. And as you guys know, I really liked Baylor on Saturday. But I like Texas tonight in this ballgame. I do. Can they win? Possibly. Do they have to? Nope. They're getting 7 points in this one. We know how good Baylor's offense can be. And this is going to be a tough one because I'm going to weigh in on this matchup. Let's just take a look at Texas here on defense. There's 14 teams in the Big 12. They're 13th at defending at the three-point line at 35.5% as a team, which isn't great. And if Baylor can stroke it like we know they can, that could be detrimental. But if we're looking at point distribution and style, these two teams, it sort of makes some sense here to back Texas. 5th in conference play at volume behind the arc, which means three-point shot attempts to field goal attempts. 40% of their shots, they're coming from three-point range. But you know who's number one at defending the three-point line, which means chasing you off of it? That's Texas's defense. And again, there's 14 teams in the Big 12. 13th in point distribution is Texas's defense from three-point land. That's really good. So Baylor wants to fill it up from three-point line. They might be able to do it because, I said, Texas per se doesn't defend the three-point line well. They actually chase you off much better. So if you're not getting those elite looks from three-point land, then maybe it gets a little bit tougher here. So if you're looking at point distribution down low, you can score on Texas. They're number 2 in conference play at letting you score inside the paint. 54% of the points come inside the paint against Texas. So you would like a team that doesn't worry so much about the three-point shot. However, Baylor's offense is 10th in point distribution in conference play inside the arc. See where we're going here at this point? The one thing that Baylor might be able to take advantage of tonight, which is a tough spot here for Texas, is at the free throw line. Number 2 at getting to the line in conference play is Baylor. Number 9th in Texas at fouling out of 14 teams. So that's going to be a tough one where they might be able to pull away towards the end of the game. But Texas matches up fairly well. Texas's offense, 9th in style components with three-point shot attempts, going up against Baylor, who's 9th in conference play at letting you shoot from the three-point line. Point distribution inside the arc, Texas is 6th overall. Baylor is 7th overall at defending. So it's almost like it fits like a glove at this point. Not saying that Texas, I wouldn't be surprised tomorrow if Texas lost by 15 points. I don't think they will. But Baylor's good enough. But also, that huge win by Baylor on Saturday, an emotional atmosphere down there in Waco, Texas. See if they can gather themselves once again and put it on the line against Texas, who is a quality opponent. I'll take the 7 points there. A couple more wagers to go, and also recap the show on exactly where we're going tonight. It's March, people. Get those dancing shoes on. I'm Donnie Wrightside. This is Moneyline, and I'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Diggity, diggity dog. Southland Conference action, people, tonight. That's where you should be. I just told you I like Texas with the 7 today. But if we're going down to the Southland, that means Houston Christian matching up with McNeese State. Houston Christian, one of the worst teams in the country in Division I. They're getting 28.5 points tonight. Total in this game listed at 153.5. I went the team total to the under for Houston Christian at 62.5. Just checked here, back here at FanDuel. That's now dropped to 61.5, and rightfully so. This team is dreadful. Forget about the defense, because that doesn't have anything to do about my handicap here of a team total to the under. They're the worst defense in the conference, and it's not even close. They don't do anything well. They don't defend anything well. Absolutely nothing here. But on offense, they're pretty bad. There's 10 teams in the Southland. They're 7th at turning the basketball over. Why does that hurt? Well, McNeese has the number one overall defense in conference play and the best turnover rate in conference play on defense at 26%, meaning a quarter of the possessions up the court, you don't even get a shot off here against McNeese State. Let's take a look at three-point range. Usually when you're an underdog, you can use that to your advantage. 10th in conference play at only shooting 28% of their shots from three-point range. That's dead last in conference play. But you know what? You could probably get after McNeese State because they allow more three-point shots than any team on defense. So if Houston Christian doesn't shoot the ball that much from three, that's going to hurt them. Why? Because if you want to score inside the paint, it's not coming against McNeese State. They're number one at 44.8% defense inside the paint at shots going down, and also 10th in point distribution, which means you better get your shots to fall from three-point range, and I don't think they will for Houston Christian. So I'm going to go under the team total, 62.5 for Houston Christian tonight against McNeese State. That's an 8 p.m. start. So tonight, LeBron James over 24.5 points for his player prop. I like that. Also, we're taking a look at Texas getting 7 and Houston Christian. Houston Christian, people, under 62.5 for a team total. That'll do it for today's Monday show. Action-packed all the way through. We're dancing in the month of March. Stay tuned. Coming up next, a little coast-to-coast for JP. Behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wright's out on a solo mission. We'll see you tomorrow for Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.